Yeah, welcome to our show, Vern.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, so Vern, you know, we have been reading a lot of reports from the web, from the news. What's leading to where we are today in Europe?
Well, the way I see it, there's a lot of imbalances there in Europe. There's in the banking system, there's imbalances in the fiscal situations in the individual countries. There's monetary imbalances. There's one central bank that is responsible for the whole region, and there are also political imbalances. And I think what the leaders there have been trying to do is to come up with some agreement that's going to straighten out all these imbalances, and it's just really difficult to negotiate. Probably need to just let natural forces bring all of those imbalances back to balance.
好，很快翻译一下。那么 Vern 呢，他说呢，在欧洲呢，其实有很多的这个不平衡啊，方方面面的不平衡，这个财务的不平衡啊，政治上的不平衡啊。那么欧洲的中央银行呢，必须再来协调所有这些东西，所以都是非常的困难。那么他希望现在的就希望是说，这个自然之力啊，能够把这个欧洲的情况转化过来。So Vern, so why is it, you know, only discovered now when the European Union was set up a few years ago? Why nobody predict this?
Well, the best way to describe it is that just when the economy is going pretty well, a lot of these imbalances or situations are kind of hidden, but when things start to go bad, they're a lot more clearer. They're a lot more easier to see, and that's what we're seeing over the last few years as the economy began to go down. The fiscal imbalances were much more prominent that the welfare states that there are in Europe were. Much farther beyond the means of the individual countries to pay for, and then when the economy went down, the decision was made to bail out a lot of the banks. Sometimes, multiple times. There's one bank in Europe called Dexia, who's they've bailed it out twice. They've actually bailed it out in 2008, and then they bailed it out again this year. So. That's probably the best way to summarize it, is that these problems were hidden, but they really manifested themselves or made themselves clear when the economy went down in 2007, and that still continues to today, and it may even get worse before it gets better.
Okay, let me briefly translate that. 那么所以呢，问说呢，这个经济走得好的时候呢，这些东西都不会暴露出来，那么经济走得不好的时候它才会浮现啊，是这么一个情况。那么包括说在欧洲的很多的银行呢，有的银行已经被救了两次了，就政府必须注资进去啊，救一些比较出问题的国家或者救一些银行。
The individual country should be responsible for resolving all their own fiscal imbalances. I mean, whether it's the situation with Italy or Greece or Ireland, you can run down the whole list of all the ones that got themselves into fiscal problems. They should take on that burden on their own and not rely on the other countries, what's turned out to be primarily Germany, to bring their fiscal situation back to balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a good lesson to learn, that if you do, it's almost like a child, whose parents keep bailing them out every time they get into trouble. They really don't learn anything, and they really need to feel the impact of their decisions, or they're never going to learn anything.
All right, so coming back to this country, okay, in the United States of America, so where are we standing right now in terms of the economic situation?
Well, we've had a very, very weak recovery. If you compare this recovery during the current time to the last financial crisis during the 1980s, it's very weak. What one way to describe a deep financial crisis is it's almost like a, it should be like a rubber band. I mean, you pull it down and it bounce, it should bounce back,
okay,
just as hard and just as strong. And so you might have a downturn, but the bounce back should be just as strong. And unfortunately, we haven't seen that bounce back in the economy like we should normally see in this deep of a financial crisis or deep recession.
So from your point of view, why?
Well, I mean, I think the whole idea of all the government spending and all the uncertainty that's gone with a lot of the regulatory changes has certainly made people hesitate about expanding their businesses. The tax environment is not amenable to the businesses. They keep hearing that their taxes are going to go up, and that's not an environment that makes people want to go out and expand their business. That last marginal dollar they're going to make is going to be taxed away, and they're showing that they're not that interested in making the investments. Whereas I think during the early 80s and mid 80s, when you had a little different approach on the fiscal side, the taxes were going down instead of going up. So it was a better environment for people to take risks and expand their businesses.
Okay. 所以我刚才问说，McKinney 先生说呢，在美国现在的情形是怎么样的？那他说这次经济的反弹呢是非常的弱，照到了应该像个橡皮筋一样的，这边拉得越狠，那边弹回去越大，但是呢，和以前两次的这个经济复苏比呢，就相当的弱。那我就问他说为什么？那他说呢，他认为呢就是政府的这个也是拨出款来帮助经济复苏这个事情啊，是造成这个就是有这方面的因素啊。另外也就是说政府的相关的一些法规呢，导致这个中小企业他会认为说这个税务这方面的话其实有很多的规定啊，导致他不太那么愿意去投资进来。So Vern, in your opinion, you believe that the government interfered too much into the economy, which is not helping with the faster recovery of the economy. Is that what I mean?
Right, and another factor was that a lot of the financial institutions were bailed out.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as we discussed earlier, I think it's better just to let them go ahead and fail.
Mm.
And what you have when institution fails, you get the bad management out of the system, and someone else comes in to take over the institution, take over the loans, take over all the operations. And it's good to have that kind of new blood come into the system. One of my first job out of university, I was down in Texas about 25 years ago, and at that time 9 out of the biggest 10 banks in Texas failed.
Really?
And it was very tough for many years. The unemployment went up. A lot of people had to file bankruptcy. A lot of banks closed, but ultimately the economy bounced back there, and now Texas's economy is one of the strongest economies in the U.S. now.
Okay. That's actually my next question. You answered that, and I still want to ask this. So one point of view might be that, those banks are too big. If they would let them fail, then it's going to impact the life of so many people and create chaos, instability, things like that. So there needs to be a balance point. It's just at a certain point, you need to still reach out and rescue that somewhat. What's your point of view? You think we should let the force of nature just completely take over?
Well, I've done a lot of research on that, because one of the big arguments to bail out the institutions was that a lot of bad things would happen. And I have about 4 lawsuits against, the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, all the agencies that were responsible for the bailouts. And there's really no evidence that they had that all these bad things would happen. They have these internal conversations about what they think might happen, or they might put together a list of some big numbers, but there's no real connection made between those big numbers and any actual failures or additional failures beyond the institution that was having problems. I mean, it's essentially, the argument was, it was like a domino theory where, you know, you knock one institution down and a lot of other financial institutions will fail. But based on my research, there was absolutely no evidence that that was the case.
Okay, interesting. 那么McKinney 先生他说呢，他刚从大学毕业的时候曾经在德州做过这个工作啊，那个时候呢在德国也在德州呢也是出现了这样一个经济上的一些状况啊，结果呢那是十家银行九家倒闭，这个失业率非常的高。那么从那之后呢其实没有什么问题，德州的经济后来恢复得很好，因为不好的管理人员被刷出去了，新的这个血液进来，那么金融的机构呢又重新建立起来，并且非常的健康。那么到了今天呢，德州是这个经济最强劲的一个州啊。那么另外说呢，他在他的经验中啊，大家觉得让很大的这个银行倒闭造成骨牌效应呢，他认为这只是一种假设，或者是一种他甚至做了几个那个 lawsuit 啊，针对这个，这其实都是这些公司内部他的意思就是说，他们在那儿就是基本上就是营造出来的，真正的没有那么回事儿，没有找到这方面的根据，所以呢就是让自然之力来起作用是最好的啊。Then, going forward,
yep.
What do you think, for the listener, people, you know, out there, you know, common people who deposit money in the bank or they have their rights of vote, what kind of suggestion do you have for them?
You mean in the U.S.?
In the U.S., yes. What should they do? What should they be aware of?
Well, I mean, I think your average person doesn't have much to worry about. I mean, their bank deposits are are covered under insurance, so I mean I wouldn't worry too much about that situation. But I think those that have a lot of money, the bigger moneyed interests really took advantage of the whole situation and essentially got the government to back up all of their bad or risky bets during the last financial crisis. I mean, another thing I found in a lot of my research that a lot of the big banks and the hedge funds were calling our central bank, the Federal Reserve, and trying to get them to do, you know, take all manner of action just to make sure that they didn't lose all of their investments. They wanted intervention on their behalf.
And so what do you think that we learned from, you know, this last century, a century of bailouts?
What has been done, which I think largely, I mean, you can focus on what has been done because I think it largely ignores the lessons of history because, and this has happened each time also, this is a case of repeating history because every time we have one of these crises, then the next step is to usually make it easier to bail out institutions the next time around, and that's something that was done again. I think that the true lesson is that, you know, the bailouts don't work. There's a lot of unintended consequences when the financial institutions are bailed out, agencies that make these decisions, do so very, very much so either in the middle of the night or they make a lot of these decisions without thinking through a lot of the consequences, and so they end up making the situation actually worse by doing what they do.
And 好，我们正在为大家采访的呢是 Vern McKinney， 他是 Independent Institute 的 Research Fellow 啊的研究员，并且是一个刚他们要推出的下一本书叫做 Financing Failure: A Century of Bailout 这本书的作者。那么我是方伟，
我是新田
啊，非常感谢大家的收听。那么Thank you, Vern, for accepting our interview and share all this good information with our listeners.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Kathy, bye.
Bye.